Well, hello, and welcome to ID the Future. I'm Ray Bolin, and we have with us today biologist Jonathan Wells, author of Icons of Evolution. We're looking at the Darwinian story of a land animal to whale evolution. And in this episode, we're going to take the problem down to the level of DNA. And this is where neo-Darwinism particularly says the real action has to occur in genetic mutations in the DNA sequence of the whale ancestors, mutations that would code for new proteins, new protein machines, eventually new organs, new anatomical features, new species, and basically an incredibly new body plan. So it sounds to me, Jonathan, that these necessary mutations have a lot of work to do to evolve a land mammal into a whale.
That's very true. In fact, from all the evidence we have, genetic mutations are incapable of doing the job, period. We know of lots of mutations. A lot have been studied. A lot have been artificially produced. And some mutations can be beneficial if they help, say, tuberculosis bacteria survive in the presence of streptomycin. But no mutations have ever been shown to produce beneficial new anatomical features. They can damage features. They can move features around so they pop up in the wrong places. But genetic mutations have never been observed to do anything beneficial at the anatomical level. So the reliance of neo-Darwinism on DNA mutations to produce the change from land animals into fully aquatic whales is actually dead in the water right from the start. They just can't do the job.
Well, there seems to be a real need for, as we talked about at the opening, that this is almost a very different body plan for the fully aquatic whale from a land mammal. And so that is going to require some regulatory and developmental changes from the very start. So what's going to be necessary to accomplish that?
Well, one thing to notice about developmental mutations is that the earlier they occur and the more dramatic the change, the more likely they are to be damaging or fatal. So the story, again, has problems right from the start. Now, there are regulatory genes, as you said. The most famous of these are called HOX genes. And these have been mutated in many ways, artificially and naturally. For example, a HOX gene mutation in a fruit fly can cause the fly to grow a leg out of its head instead of an antenna. This is very dramatic. The leg, by the way, is a fruit fly leg. But the fly, of course, is at a severe disadvantage. No antennae and these extra legs that sort of dangle in front of its face. HOX gene mutations can produce an extra pair of wings on a fruit fly. But the extra pair of wings are dead. There are no muscles attached to them. And this, again, leaves the fly at a serious disadvantage. So some people have suggested that mutations in HOX genes could have eliminated legs in whales. So the legs that land animals have disappeared because of HOX gene mutations. Well, the story doesn't really hold up when you look at it in detail. But even if it did, losing legs is a long way from acquiring a fluke or collapsible lungs or an underwater reproductive system. So the loss of a structure does not explain the appearance of new ones.
Yeah, it always seems very simple and easy to explain in an evolutionary context the loss of a particular structure. And honestly, losing legs just doesn't compare at all to the things that the whale needs to be able to gain and new things that have to be built. And the time issue comes into play here as well. The neo-Darwinists hope that they have, I don't know, 8 million years or so, but there's been a new Antarctic find suggests that the window may be more like just a million years. But even with 8 million years, is that enough to get the necessary mutations?
Well, personally, I don't think so, but here's a real example in another animal. Giraffes have a close cousin, so to speak, the okapi. The okapi is a lot like a giraffe, but it has a short neck. Well, supposedly, based on the fossil record, giraffes and okapis separated from a common ancestor about 11 million years ago. And recently, biologists have studied the genes, the DNA, in the giraffe and the okapi, which, by the way, is very difficult to do with whales, but that's another story. That's one reason why we have very little data on whales. So comparing the genes in the giraffe and the okapi, this team of biologists found 46 genes that are different in the two animals and appear to be involved in the neck, development of the neck. Although they never showed that any particular gene actually was involved in neck development, they're plausibly involved in the processes that would have caused the neck to elongate. So that's 46 genes, genetic differences, in 11 million years. And that's just to elongate the neck. Well, the changes between land animals and whales are much, much more dramatic than that. And the time is shorter. So, genetically speaking, the story becomes very implausible that genetic changes in land animals could have produced whales. It just doesn't fit the evidence.
You know, from my own background, simply lengthening the neck of the okapi to that of the level of a giraffe doesn't seem like a major or significant change, just lengthening the neck somewhat. I know there's a number of other things that have to accompany that, but at the same time, to require changes in 46 genes sounds almost like overkill. But then, as you said, when comparing it to the transition from land mammal to whale, it pales by comparison. So we're talking about 40s for the okapi to the giraffe, so we're talking about hundreds, maybe thousands, for the land mammal to whale. And that is a lot of mutations, and population geneticists have done some work estimating how long it takes for mutations to become fixed in a population. So what can you tell us about some of that research and what it suggests about the chances of blind evolution generating those thousands of mutations needed to build a whale out of a land mammal?
Well, you're right. A mutation has to become fixed in the sense that it has to spread throughout the population. A mutation in a single individual is not evolution. And in fruit flies, which have a very short generation time between birth and sexual maturity, they've calculated that fixing one gene could take maybe a million years. Now, when you go to an animal with a larger generation time, say a human or a whale, the time becomes much greater just to fix one mutation or two mutations, whatever. And so to do this in a whale with a generation time of let's say, 5 years, to be generous, there's just no way it could happen in 2 to 8 million years, much less than a million years. So even on the theoretical level, it's unjustified for Darwinians to say that land animals evolved into whales because of genetic changes.
Do we have any information or has research been done about fixing, in particular, regulatory mutations? That seems like a bigger deal to me.
Well, it would be, but again, the same principle applies. For the mutation to spread throughout the population requires many, many generations. And in whales, you just don't have it. And that's assuming that the regulatory mutations could do the job they're supposed to do in the first place, which they can't.
Well, as you look back now over the whole story here of the evolution of a whale from a land mammal, give us a quick little summary of the evidence that they have and their confidence in it and what the story really tells us.
Well, if you look at the fossil record, we have fully aquatic whales now, possibly as old as 49 million years. We have land animals, or amphibious mammals, that is, that lived on the land but also spent a lot of time in the water, like sea lions and otters, in the fossil record right up to that point. So the radical change from an amphibious mammal to a fully aquatic whale, which requires many anatomical changes, happened, geologically speaking, almost overnight. That's a big problem for the Darwinian story. The other problem is the mechanism. Supposedly, this would have happened because of genetic changes in the DNA, and yet such changes have never been observed to produce the dramatic changes in anatomy that we need to get from a land animal to a whale, either experimentally or theoretically. So the fossil record really doesn't support the story, despite the claims that there's a transitional series. And the genetic evidence doesn't support the story. So what we have is a story in need of illustrations. And that's the way the fossils are used. They illustrate a story that exists independently of the evidence, and in fact turns out to be part of a materialistic creation story.
Well, it seems to me that this tale of a dog-like creature evolving into a whale is far more fiction than fact. So thank you very much, Dr. Wells. And for ID the Future, this is Ray Bolin, and thank you for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute, 2016. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org or idthefuture.com.